And coming up next on Free Radio, it's the December 13th, that's Thursday the 13th, edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 2 hours with me talking at you, looking over the last shitty council meeting of day before yesterday, where the city essentially gave a green light to landlords to begin evicting tenants through not extending the rent freeze, or even attempting to extend the rent freeze and just eviction protection, although they did set a date or an agenda item for the January 8th session down the road, which leaves the landlords plenty of time to raise rents and evict tenants who had previously been protected from the February City Council freeze and suspension. More on that and lots of other things coming your way, so stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
I'm going to begin the show with a few announcements. Some of you regular listeners may remember Julia Vinograd. That's the poet who recently died up in Berkeley. Street poet, sort of the, I don't know, she was the poet laureate or the official poet or the poet who got a pat on the back from the Berkeley City Council. She certainly got a number of pats on the back from me for many of her poems, which were moving, original, sharp, and very much sort of down, gritty level, nitty-gritty street level, I guess what I'd say. She published over 50 to 60 books, and if you want to read the number of books she published or get a kind of an idea of her, well, you can get a listing of all the titles. I put it up on the Santa Cruz Indie Bay website, actually on the East Bay website, but you can find it just by going to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. That's indiebay.org/SantaCruz.org, and then just search for Vinograd, and you'll find this lengthy listing of all her books. I believe a few of them are in the Santa Cruz Library. Some of them are online with Street Spirit newspaper at www.thestreetspirit.org, though I guess they're not publishing more recent stuff from Street Spirit. I think they've only reached through August, but I don't know if she wrote anything. It was published after that, at least on Street Spirit. You can find a lot of her stuff on YouTube, as I mentioned in previous shows. And also, if you want to hear her readings on my past radio shows, which have been happening for the last 10 or 15, maybe 20 years, she's been occasionally on the show, at least once a year, usually. If you go to the HuffSantaCruz.org website, that's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the Huff website, and then click on the show or go to the section that talks about this show, which is called Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, and then click on the descriptions segment of that. You can, by putting in her name, find some of her actual original readings. But you can see her reading and hear her reading on YouTube just as well. So you might want to go there if you want to remember some of her poems or just order a book of hers. I don't think it's, well, you can probably find it on Amazon. I hate referring anyone to Amazon. Maybe they're selling it at the Guillotine or, God help me, the Bookshop Santa Cruz, which I can't really recommend you go to because I've been boycotting that store since 1994 when its owner and management, at least they remain silent on Neil Coonerty, who was at one time mayor and then that year city council member, supported the really viciously anti-homeless downtown ordinances, which have been used since for 24 years, to harass poor and homeless people on the streets sitting near a business or near a curb or near a bench or anywhere, essentially on anything but about 0.05%, well, let's say 0.5% of the sidewalk. That's 1/200th of the sidewalk. And that, of course, doesn't happen mechanically and systematically, but it does happen at the whim of any police officer or so-called ranger under police direction. And, of course, people are being harassed by... are they being harassed by ambassadors? That's the new so-called hosts that wander around and give instructions. I haven't got a lot of clear information on that, but I believe there's been some suggestion that they are not exactly just helpful to tourists, but also replacing the old eyes and ears of the police function of the older hosts who we got rid of some years ago to be replaced by security thugs and then rangers and now the ambassadors. If you're really interested in Julia Vinaigrette, I have some of her books, and I'm happy to sell them to you and give the proceeds to either Food Not Bombs or Huff or, I don't know, perhaps the Day and Night Storage Project. I'm going to try to get Brent Adams on the phone today, which we'll see if he responds. Brent is a voluble guy, and one can never tell what mood he'll be in. We had a meeting at the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom regular time. We've been holding more frequently recently, weekly, for a little while. Maybe we may go back to our twice-a-month schedule at the Sub Rosa on Wednesday on 11 o'clock, if you're interested in those meetings. We were talking about a coalition between tenants and homeless, because the Santa Cruz Tenants Association, represented by Cynthia Berger, came to our meeting to talk about strategies for dealing with the reality of the city council not having passed the rent freeze again, not having extended it, in spite of the four-person majority. And we talked about a coalition. I quickly got an email from Brent denouncing us for using the word coalition, claiming that we were trying to falsely give the impression that we were representative of homeless people when it was his group that was working on the coalition to support homeless people. And indeed, I think he is, and I think we are. Yeah, it ticked me off enough to mention it on the air about this, but I'm hoping that these little spats will pass, because Brent's a very good source for information for a number of things, and also he's one of the only decent service providers in town. He actually does go out there, and he's established storage services, warming center services that, you know, serve a limited number of people, but they are much less exclusionary and restrictive than the more well-funded services run by the city and the county. In fact, I'm going to try right now to give him a call on the phone. So we're giving him a ring right now and seeing if he's around. That sounds like he's not receiving calls at the moment. 1. Hey, Brent, this is Robert calling you from the recorded edition of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. Well, we're waiting for your report if you want to check in with us and let us know what's happening. I've told listeners that we may have had a little rocky exchange now and then, but that you still have been a good source of information. Please prove me right. Give me a call. Thanks. So we'll see if he does. So another thing happening actually right now out in Aptos, at the Aptos Library, I guess it is what's being called a Poor People's Town Hall in Aptos. And this is mentioned on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which I often go to for information and often post on. The Aptos Public Library is at 7695 Soquel Drive in Aptos. It's near the old Aptos Shopping Center, a block or two Santa Cruz side. I actually think it's one block before you get to the Aptos Shopping Center, at least unless they've moved it. And it's described as follows, this event. Join the Santa Cruz County Poor People's Campaign for our first Poor People's Town Hall in Aptos. The Poor People's Town Hall will take place each month in a different city within Santa Cruz County. These events will be an opportunity for poor people to come and connect with the movement, sing together, struggle together, hear about the work that is being done in their areas to address poverty, and hear testimonies from poor people in their area about their experiences and the need for change. Community members who attend will also have the opportunity to ask questions, make comments, and share their own testimonies of being poor in Santa Cruz County. To learn more about the fundamental principles, you can go to a link, and you can check out coverage in the Sentinel by going to the Sentinel website, and you can register your organization for a seat at the Pathfinder table by completing the registration process. And usually I'm too late or too preoccupied to get involved with that for Huff, but it's probably a good idea. And if any Huff members hear this and want to wander on out to the Aptos Library, check it out and represent Huff there. See, let them know what we're doing and find out what they're doing. So we're going to give Drew Glover a call because he's with the Poor People's Campaign or has been in the past. And he also, of course, is a new city council member. And he may be available. Hello.
Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Good, Drew. This is Free Radio calling in. I'm just wondering if you have any info about the Poor People's Campaign happening at Aptos today. Yeah, I got the same problem. I'm doing a radio show at that time. We're preparing for one. Actually, we're doing it now, but it broadcasts at 6. Let me ask you, you've been working on these issues as well as this political campaign that you just won. Anything you've seen in the last couple of weeks that's particularly struck you about, which has emphasized what you think should be the priority? I don't mean for the city council. I have no particular confidence in the council, no offense to you. But for activists outside in the field that should be working on issues that you think are of high priority or things that have particularly struck you and moved you in the last couple of weeks. Right, there are a couple of things happening about, that, I guess, coming up tomorrow, local protests.
And also, individuals from the different groups have gone down there. I've spoke with Keith McHenry at Food Not Bombs, who's planning on going down there to help serve meals and everything. So all of that's really promising and awesome. I'm actually, unfortunately, in the middle of getting prepared, so I can't really dig too deep into all these topics. But tonight, we will be adding a new addition to the campaign structure with the Poor People's Campaign, in which we're going to be partnering from now on moving forward with the Second Harvest Food Bank to be able to offer people access to sign up for the SNAP food stuff, as well as having some fresh vegetables and produce to be able to distribute at the at the town hall.
That sounds good. In the next minute and a half, do you have anything you've seen locally? Because, I mean, that's local, that distribution, but something you've seen that needs to be addressed immediately in Santa Cruz that the council perhaps can't or won't address, but that activists might be able to at least shine the spotlight on?
I mean, really disappointing on Tuesday to see the decision from the outgoing council with regards to rent control and rent stabilization. So that kind of work around eviction protections for vulnerable renters and people is super urgent and important. And then other things that people should be paying attention to locally. I mean, outside of housing and people experiencing homelessness and sleeping outside in the bitter cold, because it's been incredibly cold and will continue to get colder, those kinds of issues. The work that's been done by the storage program is great, so rallying around models like that to be able to alleviate people from having to carry their things around, and figuring out how to expand the warming center program, the kind of idea or premise, and offering more warm beds and shelter spaces.
I'm going to be actually playing the conversation we had at City Council, and I'm sorry you didn't take my urging that you at least raise the issue of an emergency ordinance when you had the opportunity right after you were initiated. Is there a reason you didn't do that, asking that the rent freeze be expanded?
Because I'm not familiar with the process.
I got you.
And that was the first time that it had been brought up to me.
Oh, boy. Well, feel free to call me any time to get my advice on this issue.
Great. And then also, while it's unfortunate that there will be this window of time between that meeting and the next one, Sandy was able to get the next meeting pushed to January 8th, I believe, which is when we revisited those issues.
Anybody being evicted that you know about in the next week or two? Because that would be something that people could try to mobilize around. Let us know if you do, because I think that would be a high-profile opportunity if you want to, raise it.
I will, yes, absolutely. Whether it's the landlord is selling the house or whether he's just trying to transition out at the end of the lease, since now he doesn't have anything stopping him.
I'll let you go because I know you're busy, but, I'll try to see if anybody can get down to Aptos. If I'd heard about this sooner, I might have done something more, but who knows? Maybe the next time around we can do something, and I'll be back to try to get a report from you on anything else that is coming down the pike.
Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for doing the work.
Hey, thank you. And you take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Drew Glover, who's I've heard him dismissed as all puff and no substance by some. Some of the people who are dismissing him have received a similar critique from me. The one thing I got to say about Drew is he is accessible by phone. Maybe it's just because I like talking on the radio, but that I find to be of use. And I'd like to know from other people whether they are finding him accessible by phone as well. Most council members are not accessible by phone. Sandy Brown has been somewhat accessible, though I found, unfortunately, as regular listeners well know, unreliable in most of the promises she's made and repeatedly made. But why go into that again at the moment? Probably go into it later, just to stay abreast of the issue. So now it's musical break time, and break we will. We'll be right back.
tell everybody.
That was Trump is an Asshole by Jane Parchak Productions. You know, I mean, I suppose that a number of folks who voted for him, well, they might not even disagree with that, but they would maybe suggest he's their asshole, and his asshole is, at least it's got an honest stench compared to the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party's asshole. It's hard to, it's hard to tell them apart, because even though Trump talks a bit differently and sounds a bit differently, and his style is certainly different than prior decorous presidents, the people pulling the strings, I suspect, are the same large corporate interests. We have the same foreign wars, the same massive military budget, the same corporations in control. It's and, you know, intensified anti-immigration activity, as Drew was referencing. But, you know, Obama was no friend of immigrants. I mean, it's a mistake to believe that Trump's policies are a fundamental change in terms of the really basic direction. I mean, I've been talking about this, and of course this is a standard lefty line for a lot of us lefty folks, which is that even people like Bernie Sanders, who talk, oh, you know, national health and anti-bankster rhetoric and even anti-bankster proposals. And, you know, let's stop the war in Yemen, at least by somewhat defunding the Saudis somewhat. I'm not even quite sure what the substance of that Senate resolution is. I got to look at it more closely. It's coming up on the floor, I guess it's next week. I think it's next week. Maybe it's this week. I think it's next week. But you can't do anything if you have a huge military budget and a massive foreign wars, and you're not going to take a real stand against that. And that's something that, you know, all the socialist talk in the world essentially crumbles and means very little if you're not going to have the financial support to back it. And if you're going to turn around and back Clinton after she steals the Democratic Party nomination and then wants to blame it on the Russians and on Trump, You're not my idea of a working class hero, I got to tell you. And then the guy will win who, or the woman will win, in this case it was a man, who shrieks most loudly and makes a clearest differentiation between themselves and the kind of the previous style of doing things, since it all to some extent is a matter of style rather than substance. And a lot of the American electorate knows it, so they don't even turn out to vote. So I've mentioned, and you heard Drew Glover mention the Poor People's Candidate or Campaign, sorry, at the Aptos Public Library at 6695 Soquel Drive in Aptos. That's happening. It's happening now, or now means starting at 6 Thursday night, tonight. You can check that out. Tomorrow, as I believe Drew may have mentioned, or maybe was trying to mention before I interrupted him, there's a solidarity walk for caravan asylum seekers starting at 5 o'clock and running until 6:30. And that is going to be, if I can find it without losing my place again, let's see here, at the town clock, Water and Pacific, downtown Santa Cruz. We have a duty, says the rhetoric here, to stand up and speak out to demand justice and safety for asylum seekers. Will you join us? Tenemos el deber de levantarnos y exigir justicia y seguridad para los solicitantes de asilo. Solicitantes de asilo. ¿Te unes a nosotros? Will you join us? That's my attempt at Spanish. Amplifying the voices of the asylum seekers, the Caravan Solidarity Walk. Again, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Friday, December 14th. You can get more information on Facebook. And also tomorrow, at the same time, there is a workshop at 6 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean Street, for Lava May. That's a workshop on setting up a mobile hygiene center in Santa Cruz, a special that's the attempt to get showers available for people who are outside, haven't got, you know, maybe they may be able to rush over to the St. Francis Soup Kitchen on weekdays and get a shower, but they aren't allowed access, as far as I know. I should get more information on that, in the Homeless Lack of Services Center. You might be able to get in there now. I'm not sure. I spoke to a person who, well, both people who work there and those who are clients there, I'm not going to say which one. I want to preserve the identities of the folks involved. There's some concern about retaliation there. There may be access to showers now, although I've heard opposite information that you can't even get access to a toilet in there if you aren't a member of their campus, their program, their signed-up list. I've also heard it said, this time from an employee, that the waiting list to the Pauley Loft is open. That is to say, although it's not necessary anymore, supposedly, because in the past, getting on the waiting list of either the Pauley Loft or the River Street Shelter would mean that if the cop came along and awoken you at midnight, gave you a ticket, told you to move on, giving you no place to go to, and then having you sign a promise to appear in court, that ticket would then be dismissed if, at the same time, you had remembered to go down to the Homeless Lack of Services Center or to call the River Street Shelter and get on the waiting list. You can't call the Pauley Loft Homeless Lack of Services Center to get on their waiting list. You have to go in and fill out papers, according to the employee I talked to. But according to on the River Street Shelter, you were able to call in, and I used to give out a little flyer with that number. 459-6644 was their number. Perhaps it still is, 459-6644. But about a month or two ago, I learned from an employee there that they've closed their waiting list and they don't do that anymore. Now, maybe they've reopened it again. But in any case, as I said initially, this is kind of irrelevant because under the Boise v. Martin court decision, if enforced here, and that's not entirely clear, that does seem, though, recent research that we've been doing. Yesterday, some of us from Huff went down to the police station and finally began to look at the records that the police had been holding up and declining to release to us. But we finally got released. But we have to go through them individually, one by one. We're looking to see if there are stay-away orders on the records, which they refuse to put in their summary. You have to look at the individual citations and what the race of the person who is cited for being in a closed area after dark, one of the most frequent citations in the Parks and Rec sets of citations we looked at some months ago or some weeks ago. Because the race matter is an important issue for us. For one thing, I mean, let's be candid here. It's a hotter issue, and it's one which motivates perhaps more steam and maybe possibly more response than a homeless issue, although they're equally important. Discrimination against any group of that kind, particularly homeless people, that's the one I've been beating the drum around for decades, is particularly important. But if you're black these days, it's not that you have a better chance. You probably have a worse chance in a way than, depending on whether you're, it really depends on what your economic status is rather than your race is, of course, important too. But within that racial group, if you're well off, you're going to be in a slightly better position than if you aren't. Though the racial factor, you can get shot just as dead by an errant police officer who's unaccountable for what she or he does as if you're poor. But I think that poor people are more likely to come into conflict with the police if you're black than wealthier people. But, you know, that's speculation or sort of generalization on my part without any sort of fact-based or evidence-based information. In any case, we were at the police station trying to determine, to complete the records that Chief Mills refuses to complete. He insists that we go do it by hand ourselves. He doesn't want to put the race on the summaries he puts out of the tickets. I mean, you can find out everything else. You can find out the address. You can find out the officer, find out the charge. But the two things that we were looking for to find out what's going on with whether there's discriminatory behavior against homeless people is you can't find whether there are stay-away orders issued. And you can't easily find, at least I haven't yet been able to be clear on this, whether there are whether the individuals ticketed are people of color. And to us, that's important to know, because if it's the case that it's not happening, then we can say right on, you know, pat Andy Mills on the back and say, you've changed from the Barnett chapter. That's when Officer Barnett was giving out tickets at a significantly increased rate to African-American folks downtown for minor offenses. And that was 2013, 2014, when we got that information from the police department and posted it on Santa Cruz Indy Media. In case you're skeptical, you can actually look at the raw data that we released at that time. So this is all a riff on an event that's happening tomorrow, Friday at 6 o'clock, at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean Street, which is the Lava May workshop on establishing a mobile hygiene service. I mean, it's great that there's a storage service established, a 24-hour storage service, or day and night storage service anyway. 24 hours is not accurate since it's only open during the mornings and the evenings, but they will hold your stuff for 24 hours, provided you make a contract with them. And again, you could find that out by calling 246-1234, which is also the number for the warming center. I think I have that right, and if I don't, who knows? Maybe we'll get a call from Brent Adams about that issue. Here's some interviews from December 10th, Monday, earlier this week, just so you can hear a few voices other than mine. So we're on the outside the Red Church. It's December 10th that we're talking with
Kenny. I was just going to say, now it's really a drag because only Tuesdays and Thursdays you can get your property back.
They took your property on Saturday?
Yeah, but it's my flea. It means a lot to me. But I get it tomorrow. I've been waiting like 4 days or something. But that's all. That's my only.
What did they take?
Just my backpack and stuff and property.
And what was the circumstance? Why were they taking it?
Some stupid bogus thing. I want to get my...
Go for it. Yeah. Go for it. Thank you, man. So we're on the outside the Red Church. And Kenny had to rush into a meal, but we then hit the meal line and began interviewing folks and caught some more voices.
Drive.
I'm sorry, start again.
The safe. We had some signs that were up that weren't supposed to be there by the USGS building on Natural Bridges Drive. It says no parking from midnight to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And so the Coastal Commission, Sarah Carville, talked to Pat Vesert with enforcement, who talked to the city, who agreed to take down a couple signs. And I think they're supposed to take down some more signage, but so far it hasn't been done yet. But there was a couple of signs removed already.
You're on their track.
They're working on it. Yeah, so that's a progress.
Have you heard of anybody getting tickets under these bogus signs?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, all kinds of things are happening. Also, Sean Arlt, you know about that situation, right?
Anything new? I just know there was a settlement, but there's no change in police policy as far as I know.
Okay, and then I guess there's a Luke Smith issue.
And Sean Arlt, of course, was the guy who was shot dead by Santa Cruz police about 2 years ago. And recently, his family received a significant settlement from the city, but there's no indication the police department's policies have changed in any way, or the reports, which Huff and other groups demand to be released, the witnesses, the DA's investigation, the video and audio, some of which was released, but not necessarily by me, necessarily all of it, still remains under lock and key. And Luke Smith was another person, this man killed by deputies, and that also, we made similar demands, and so far, no response.
Those are two men shot by the police, or deputies.
His mom and friends are still trying to process that, and they're also dealing with lawyers right now over that situation.
And we've been talking with
Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full-Timers.
Thank you. Hi, Nancy, any report? Betsy, any reports? Mr. Mark,
yes.
Anything that you wish to report to us?
Oh, just a stolen bike, but that happens all the time
another
in Santa Cruz.
Stolen bike. You just kept... How did that happen?
I locked it up at City Hall. I had it in a spot that was fairly well hidden underneath some eaves, so when it was raining, it wouldn't get wet. I got a notice saying I had to move because it was an abandoned vehicle or abandoned bicycle.
Even though it was locked.
Even though it was totally locked up, yeah. So I moved it, and after I moved it, it got stolen that night.
Was it locked again?
Oh, yeah. I had two locks on it, a chain lock for the wheels and a U-lock for the frame.
You put it in a bank vault.
Yeah, I do. But that's okay. As long as I get my disability, I'll be happy.